Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast. You are what you eat, and you are
what you eat, and you're even... Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show mainly about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the soils in which our food is now grown. Today I'm chatting with Liz Cronin. Liz is another resident of North Warrandyte. You heard from Ruth Rankin last week, and this is Liz. And she is one of the conveners of the Warrandyte Food Swap. At Food Swaps, backyard growers come together to share their excess produce. So usually at the Warrandyte Food Swap, we've got seasonal herbs and greens, eggs, sometimes a few seasonal fruits. Liz had some lovely nashi pears in this last season, seedlings, and also jams and chutneys to swap. We're in a prominent position on the day of the Warrandyte market, so we get a lot of curious passers-by and people who show up the following month with their own contribution. So welcome, Liz. Thanks for coming on the show to chat all about the Warrandyte Food Swap and food swaps in general.
Thank you, Anne. That's great. So as you said, the Warrandyte Food Swap is held the first Saturday of the month, every month except January, and coincides with the Warrandyte market. And we're really lucky to be supported by the Warrandyte Community Garden, who provide us the area, either the gazebo and also the the driveway that we're actually working from as well, which enables us to connect with the community and set up and be part of the wonderful Warrandyte community and the local Food Connect community and any other community.
So the local Food Connect, which is the organisation that sponsors this show, also sort of looks after the Warrandyte food market and the food swap and the Eltham food swap. So they're really, they provide us with some signage and I think public liability insurance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And also pretty importantly, and listeners probably have already connected or been aware of, the Local Food Connect has a marvellous website and also a newsletter. So also provides us with an opportunity to talk about the food swap and other events and to also showcase where we have some interesting things that have come along, or we had a promotional video and we were able to promote that through the Local Food Connect newsletter, which then increases our and raises our profile, increases our the coverage and the people that come to us just from that curiosity point of view. So it's a really important part of who we are, why we are, and our longevity as well.
Longevity. So you've been part of the food swap since its second get together. Tell us about how you started and what it's been like. Is it 10 years or more that you've been doing it?
Yeah. So I moved to Warrandyte, or we, my family, moved to Warrandyte, we intentionally downsized our house and increased our garden with the thought of being able to grow and produce as much food as we could. And I was looking for opportunities to take that love of gardening and everything else into a community volunteering practice, and I read about the local food, the Warrandyte Food Swap had its first meet, and they were looking for volunteers, and I thought that's perfect. It gives me an opportunity to be involved and to contribute to the community in a something that I can do easily without, you know, because often at that stage, particularly, you know, when you've got caring duties and you've got work and all the rest, sometimes that thought of what can I do and what can be a sustainable contribution was really important. So this year we're celebrating a 10th anniversary, which is just amazing. And it's just been a wonderful experience of sort of travelling through, I guess, everything, including pandemics and QR codes, and watching as people have come through, getting to know people, getting to know people's lives, and you know, for that hour of a week or hour a month, just checking in and supporting and just being part of people's lives and their food journey, their sustainability journey, whatever it is their journey is.
Mm. So before we talk about that idea of volunteering as a practice, a community practice, which is a phrase you just used, can you just tell us what you've got growing in your garden and even right now, or just what are the kinds of things that you've contributed to the food swap in the last few get-togethers?
So we've got a lot of fruit trees as well as the veggie patch and the herbs as well. So in our fruit trees, we've got nashis, which is always a good one because it's a little bit different. We've got apricot trees, lime. Our lime tree's absolutely bursting. It got frostbitten probably about 5 years ago, and this year's the first time it's really come up with a vengeance, so it's dripping. And so anyone wants limes, come next month or in the next couple of months to the food swap, because I'll certainly be bringing some bucket loads. We've got a few types of apples, which are just beautiful. The pear tree, and you know, eating pears from a pear tree is just amazing experience. So I'm just finishing off my beans, my tomatoes. I've just planted some cabbage and some peas and snow peas and some broad beans, sort of coming up to the autumnal time. What else is there? I've got the usual range of herbs. And what else am I eating off my garden? greens and some carrots. I've got a parsnip that's been in the ground that's looking pretty nice.
One parsnip.
Yeah, it's just sort of one of those, you know, I don't know about you, but the other thing is I've been foraging for some potatoes and things like that, because I often find that at this time of year some things have just been hidden in the garden and there's got some real gems that just come up. So
Liz, have you got an idea of how much growing space you've got, just to give people an idea, because that sounds like a huge orchard or something you got there, but it's probably not, is it? How much have you got?
Yeah, it's interesting. So we're on 3/4 of an acre, so we've got the space for the fruit trees at the back, I essentially have 3 raised beds, and then I've created a couple of 3 raised beds, and then my husband's a builder and engineers really creative solutions, and so we've got a couple of baths and they're sort of sitting in frames as well, and then we've got some other garden beds that I sort of play with from time to time, and I've got a strawberry patch that acts as a screen also to the road as well. If I look at that space, it could actually be just like it could be a suburban block. Do you know what I mean? I think because we've got the fruit trees in the other area, that probably takes it into that next sort of level. But if I was, and the other thing is I've tried to create some set and forget beds down the other end of the property. But what's happened then is that they get set and forget, and they're also a lot more prone to wildlife and to destruction, and I can't keep a proper eye on them.
Is it stuff that you're just letting self-seed and all that? Is that what you mean?
So what I did is I sort of thought I'll take the ones that are outside my kitchen garden, my kitchen window, so that I can just keep an eye on. So, you know, if I suddenly see, like yesterday, I looked out my kitchen window and I saw a bird come along and just take one of my tomatoes, and
yes.
I thought, I'm going to go and pick the rest of those before you get the rest of them. Whereas down the end, I thought I'll put things like potato patch down the end, because I thought I'll just set and forget, and I don't want that you know, it can just go. But then when I, by the time I did get back to it, I think it had just been ravaged, or it hadn't had enough water or whatever. And because I didn't have that constant eye, and because I'm still working, and, you know, so it's not always easy to just go out every day and do things. So, I can produce what would be produced on a suburban block, you know, or even in a unit, a backyard unit.
Even maybe minus some of the fruit trees, but what you've got that's not fruit trees is doable. Take me back to that idea of how you see yourself as part of a community. Well, what you understand by community practice, I think that's an interesting idea.
I guess when I think about the food swap and I think about community practice and things like that, I think about where the role of the food swap, I guess, in the greater community, and also how it intersects and what it, the potential of it as well. So I look at the food swap, and at the first level you've got that transactional level. You've got, here's my bag of limes, and there's some pumpkin seeds, I'll just put them away and, you know, harvest those or plant those in the proper months. And then there's another, the next level is where I come to the food swap, and I put down my limes, but then I also see these fantastic tomatoes, and I go, oh, how did you get your tomatoes? I start to invest. I invest knowledge. I build my capability and my knowledge and others as well. And so we invest a bit in each other, and we sort of create this community, this fluid community. And if that's only just for 5-10 minutes for that moment, or if it becomes a more flourishing, you know, long relationship, then that's great. And then I think there's a third level that comes into it, which is that sort of transformational level, and that transformational level is about being curious, and it's being about challenging how we do things. It's maybe introducing a little bit of discomfort, and in that discomfort we often have that change that happens. And so that might be biting into a lovely pear from someone's homegrown pear tree and going, how come I've never tasted a pear like this? This is different. This is, you know, we don't get this in the supermarket. It can be coming back with something like a Trombolino zucchini that I've never ever heard of, and then going, well, what can I do with this? Well, I'm going to do some, grate it down for some fritters. I'm going to stuff this part, and we're going to sort of have our dinner around that seasonal, available produce. So it's starting to introduce the notion of that seasonal cooking and how I approach my cooking. Instead of going, here's a recipe and I'm going to make it fit, I'm going to buy all these things and maybe there's something in the garden, the seasonality, the garden, the produce and what's available dictates how I actually cook. There's a third element of that that also is about the cyclical nature of what's produced or what's in front of us at a food swap, of the seeds, the seedlings, the harvest, the chutneys, whatever it is, and that movement around, hey, they're great tomatoes, here are the seeds, try them next time. I tried the seeds, had this fantastic harvest, you're right, blah, 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 blah. And then there's also the education around waste as well, because now I know I can dry my lemon and I can use that as a fire lighter, the oils will do the, you know, so, and I can use all my food scraps and I can either put them on the compost so it's never wasted, but I can also maybe make a stock with those because I never thought of using that peel for the stock and things like that. So it's really creating some new things. So suddenly I have this kindness, if you like, to the earth. And I'm going to tell you a story which I think is really really touches my heart and really says something about the community that is the food swap. In the middle of last year, when it was freezing cold, one of our beautiful, beautiful regulars came, opened a bag and said, you all come here in whatever weather and you turn up in whatever weather and it's freezing cold at the moment, I've knitted you all a beanie, take a beanie, warm your head. And I personally, I think we were all pretty much taken back by that kindness. And I see this kindness to earth. I see this kindness to each other. And I see this this vehicle for change, in which it's essentially just, here's my carrots and here's your beetroot, you know.
Vehicle for change.
So, you know, like the possibilities are there. And I know I probably have a fairly expansive view here, and I probably have a very, some might say, a Pollyanna view of the world, but I just think that, you know, why are we here? And I think that the food swap also gives us an opportunity to, well, I know for me, it's that 1 hour a month can often refuel me and reset me and send me back into life with, again, sort of helping me to realign and I guess live my values.
We'll have a little break and we'll be right back. Thanks, Liz.
Slums in some metropolitan centers are coming down, condemned by forward-looking civic governments. Down are coming the bad living conditions that produce bad citizens.
The practical uses of asbestos are very numerous. At least 18,000 articles are made of it.
In the spring, the nature-loving Australian goes bush. The wife washes and the dishes dry themselves.
It's a serial pest.
Cities within cities, scientifically planned and built, where a man and his family with a small income can live with comfort and dignity as investments in democracy.
Kill your lawn and kick your fence. A show about how we live in the cities and suburbs and the ideologies behind them.
Fridays every fortnight at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 3CR 855 AM.
From rubbish tip to you.
When I was new to Melbourne, I found a Food Not Bombs flyer on the road, and I had like this fist with a carrot, and carrots are my favourite vegetable. Yeah, I think they were asking for help doing stuff, and I got in touch.
We, I guess, rescue food
that would otherwise go to waste.
I like the aspect of sharing food and not making anyone feel obligated to pay anything for it.
We make a real point at Food Not Bombs of involving everyone who wants to be involved in whichever part they want to be involved in.
For more information, go to fnbmelb.noblogs.org. Food Not Bombs is a 3CR supporter. Food Not
Bombs. This is a Local Food Connection show on 3CR, 855 kHz on your AM radio dial, and 3CR on digital radio. Go to the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show if you like, and go back and have a look at all of our podcasts, and you'll see lots of things relating to the sorts of things that Liz and I are talking about today. So, Liz, I was very interested in you talking about the fact that it's a fluid community, meaning that there's about three or four of us that are there for the whole hour every month, and then there's people that always come but pass through, and then there's strangers who come and pass through and maybe come back the next time. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Look, I think the way in which it sort of came about, the convening group, there's always been a number of people in the convening group, and that has changed, obviously. Carol, who I think is arguably our driver and an amazing contributor not only to the food swap and driver of the food swap, but also the community in general, she works tirelessly and is just an amazing
giver.
Person.
She's a giver, isn't
absolutely,
she?
Yeah. And we're really lucky that she's part of that as well. But I think there's always been the group that sort of comes in and out, and there's always been a few, luckily, you know, because, and it's always been sort of a bit of a laissez-faire sort of situation. It's not a, there's not a hierarchical, or there's not a,
it's not a committee or a committee meeting or any kind of meeting.
In saying that, in the early days, we did have committee meetings, if you like, and we did have things like creating business plans and
really?
And marketing plans to actually just sort of figure out what we were about and also to figure out how, mainly about really attracting people to the food swap and also raising our profile. And we've had a lot of different interventions. We've been had write-ups in the local paper. We've done drops, you know, pamphlet drops. We've gone into the market and sort of directly sort of let people know where we are. We have signage as well. We have promotional videos. So there's been a lot of that. And I think perhaps one of the major changes that we've had probably since COVID is just repositioning ourselves in the gateway of the community garden instead of being in the gazebo, which gives us greater flexibility and visibility, and also means that people, arguably when we were in the gazebo, there might have been a barrier to people coming because they had to come in through a gate, and so that can be a bit daunting, whereas people are just drifting past and they get to know us and, we can sort of just sort of reach out and go, hi, we're the food swap, like to know some more. So getting back to the committee, sorry, I've gone off on a tangent there. Getting back to the committee, that committee is really, it's almost based on the ethos, I guess, that the food swap is. And the food swap, that the way in which we operate is that we are based on goodwill. Bring what you can, take what you need. And if your garden is bare or there's nothing, you don't have anything there, your contribution or your participation is contribution enough. And I think the committee, if you like, or the conveners or whatever you want to call us, is based on that. We believe in what we do. We really value the time together. We value each other's contribution and we just want it to grow, and we want to promote what we do and help each other and just genuinely enjoy each other's company as well.
What if I issued a big challenge to you and said something like, the two major supermarkets have got this monopoly on food distribution, selling food, pricing and all the rest of it, even what kind of food they offer to us, how it's packaged, where it comes from and everything. And all we're doing, and literally it's we're swapping something that you can fit on a large dining table full of food, and we're only doing it once a month. And yet you say, and I agree with you, that it's actually got transformational power.
Mm.
So, you've already talked about that a bit, so I don't want to ask you to go back over what you've said, but I really am interested in that, the potential for transformation and the fact that you've got that in your mind, this is what you communicate, that food swap is part, is connected to the past and to the future. It's not just a pile of food and some people standing around a dining room table size display. Can you talk about that connection to the past and the future? If you know what I'm on about here, I might be a bit vague.
So are you sort of saying, you're saying transformation, yet in the real world, if you like, there's a lot of barriers to that actually
becoming the model, hold. Becoming the model of how we interact with each other.
Yeah. Look, I think the thing is that, as I said before, I don't want to sort of, I know it sounds like a Pollyanna view, but I think that as individuals, sometimes we can only do what we can do. So, for instance, I'll probably digress a little bit here, but so I remember seeing a program and it was talking about a particular food company that was exploiting, I guess, third world and things like that. And I thought, that's dreadful. What can I do? I can, protest, I can do this. And I said, you know what I can do? I can actually take my dollar and go somewhere else. And so as the primary chef, the primary shopper, I did that, and I took, much to the family going, oh no, we really want this. And this is probably about 15, 20 years later, we still don't have those products here. And I'll, in conversation talk about that and sort of spread the word without it being preachy or whatever. I just say, you know, if the opportunity arises. So I always think to myself, what can I do? And I guess I'm hoping that part of the food swap and that whole sort of movement of that table of food starts to plant a seed, and that seed may never grow, but in a lot of people it might actually just start to move a little bit. Or the goodwill, you know, that whole goodwill thing of, no, we don't have any money, yes, you can take something and it doesn't have to be reciprocated, maybe that can take hold. So maybe it's not about the major food producers and things like that as much as more of a sense of the kindness and community, and remembering that we are a community and remembering that we can be kind. You know, sometimes I think in customer service these days, you know, we get so excited when we have great customer service, which is often, whether or not our issue is resolved, it's often just being someone listening to us, hearing our and trying to help us with our needs. And whether or not, as I said, it gets resolved, it's just that someone being present and being there for someone. Mm. And you know, part of that food swap is connecting with the community, and it is, you know, people coming once a month, or, you know, maybe not coming once a month, coming every, you know, a few months, or coming back after 2 years, and we're sort of just all journeying together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're journeying together, and sometimes we're actually touching the part where we're listening to the stories, the real stories of what's happening in people's lives. Mm. So I know I'm taking this on a huge journey here, but I mean, I just sort of feel that it is much more than just popping food on a table.
Yeah. I'm always amazed at the people who come over with curiosity, and we have to explain to them a couple of times, no, we really don't want money.
Yeah.
And then and they can't believe it, and then that we often have to explain that they can take something, and if they would like to just pay it forward or come back another time. Absolutely. And how hard that is for people. Yeah. To take something and not give, but it's so striking to them that it must be just doing some good. They must, if they're so struck by it, they must be living with it for a week afterwards or something, or probably going to tell someone about it.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I just sort of think I know myself, sometimes I look at things and I get terribly overwhelmed and I think, oh, that's terrible. How can we do something about that? And I think if we can sort of go, what is in my sphere of influence here, and work with that, that maybe that sphere of influence can become as somebody said the other day, I love your movement.
I love your movement. What was the context of that?
I love your movement, as in the food swap movement. Oh. And I did sort of think to myself, oh, are we a movement?
Well, I think we are, because going to the food swap, then you attract all these other people and they say, oh yeah, I grow those, or I'm involved in this organization or whatever. And then you realize that there's a very strong network of volunteering around sustainability and around localism, and there's, it would be interesting just to see if it all stopped, what the impact would be on society, you know.
Yeah, well, I think, look, I did sort of reflect back on, because sometimes I think, because some of your other guests have come on and they've been very, very structured, organised. You know, food swaps have been part of a bigger sort of entity. And sometimes I was sort of thinking, well, are we just sort of just the entity that comes? You know, are we sort of a singular? But then I said, you know, we're under the food swap banner. We're connected with the community garden. We've connected with the seed library at Warrandyte. We have their brochures at Manningham. We have, it's at Home Harvest Program, I think, mm-hmm. it's called.
Yep.
We have Food is Free for Excess Food, you know, we'll go up there. And we have a social media person, Jade. I just want to reach out and acknowledge her as well. But so we have all these interconnections, even though, so we're not really sort of standalone. And, of course, we have so many people with so many connections across the community.
Yep, and I think that's the message. I don't think any of us are ever standalone. That's a complete illusion. We need each other. Mm. Well, that's all we have time for today, and it was an absolute pleasure chatting with you, Liz. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Anne. It's been great.
My name is Anne Stanley, and my guest was Liz Cronin. Go to localfoodconnect.org.au for a good read and to find events you can attend in the coming weeks. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus, and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.